mais oui, je dois dire que avec avec mon fils particulièrement qui aime tennis beaucoup, quand je suis avec lui, je suis on peut dire la personne différent, positivement différent. Donc je sens beaucoup d'amour, beaucoup de motivation et inspiration pour jouer le meilleur tennis avant de lui, parce qu'il aime tennis et peut-être un jour il peut jouer ici aussi.
Nous le souhaitons tellement. Merci encore une fois. Novak Djokovic, qualifié pour les quarts de finale Roland Garros.
Djokovic saying, you know, it's a pleasure having his son and daughter watching him play. I think he said that they're going to go back to school tomorrow because his half term is over. And that's more important than Roland Garros, to keep them in their education. And he said that Stefan is a pretty good young player, loves tennis, and a different personality to him in a positive way. Very much enjoys his tennis, and who knows, one day maybe he'll be out here playing himself. Well, if he's anything like his dad, he's going to be a heck of a player, is Stefan, and maybe his daughter too. And Djokovic safely through and impressively through to the quarterfinals.
Your 17th career quarterfinal at Roland Garros. How proud are you of this achievement?
Well, I'm proud of it, but my attention is already in the next match. I mean, obviously quarterfinals, Khachanov. I know what my goal is here, so I'm trying to stay mentally the course and, of course, not look too far, but obviously the performance of today gives me a great deal of confidence about how I felt, about how I played. So I'm looking forward to the next match.
Novak, have there been times in your career where you looked past an opponent, whether Roger or Rafa was looming somewhere in the draw, and in addition to that, what have you learned about how not to do that?
Well, you always follow the top guys, you know, in your half or whatever, how they're playing. Of course, you are looking, you're analyzing everyone's game. You are basically following what's going on in the draw. But most of the attention is obviously focused on you, on what you need to deliver on the court, how you need to perform, and how you need to win the next match. It's only about the next step. But of course, I do keep in mind what the others are doing as well.
You mentioned the other day that the crowd isn't always respectful here. Just wondered on your take on crowd watch today.
I didn't say that. Don't, please. I said that the majority of the crowd is fine. They come, they enjoy tennis, they're respectful, they support either of the two players, but there are some individuals that create some issues. But I didn't say that the crowd is disrespectful. It's not true.
How about today? What was your feeling on them today?
I thought they were great, especially in the end. I mean, they gave me a very nice chanting and support. And I, you know, as a player, you always want to receive that love from the crowd. And of course, I felt great, and I thanked them in the interview.
You've kind of joked a little bit this week about working on your French, seeking a professor. Not sure when you have time to study a language and add to your collection, but I'm wondering why it is important for you to be able to do those interviews after the matches in French and speak to the locals in their language, and might we hear an allez from you after a good point next week?
I don't think you'll hear allez, because I mean, I normally kind of encourage myself on my own language, as I've done throughout my career, but I think it's a question of respect. It's a matter of respect, sorry. You know, when you are in a particular country, to try to speak the language of that country, I think it actually, you know, allows you also to get closer to the people in a way, for people to really, I think, respect you more as well. It's kind of a mutual respect. That's how I see it. I mean, I know I was always attracted by languages
from a very young age. And I was kind of, you know, because I was training in Germany, I had German English in school, and then I learned Italian pretty quickly, and, you know, French, decent Spanish as well. So I think the more languages that you speak, the more respect you're going to get, the more value you will get from the relationships with people and just from your experience in a given country. I know it's not the perfect level, but at least I think when you give an effort, people recognize that, and you try, you know, you give your best.
Could you explain a little bit your sleep routine during tournaments, if you do some naps or other things, I don't know, and how do you organize yourself with it?
Well, I mean, sleep is extremely important, probably more important than any other recovery routines that you can do. I'd like to get at least, you know, 8.5 hours of sleep a night. I'm pretty deep sleeper, so to say. You know, I don't wake up during the night, so I get everything done in those particular amount of hours that I'm looking for. I mean, especially if you are experiencing some strong physical efforts that, you know, on a given day, then, you know, your body's asking for more sleep. I think REM sleep is the most important one, between 1 and 4 a.m., so I try to be already in the deep sleep by that time. I don't go too early to sleep, but I also don't go late, so I'm, you know, around midnight or something. I try to get those 8-9 hours of beauty sleep. I think that helps a lot with recovery, with feeling good, feeling fresh. Do I get naps? I get, if you want to call them, yeah, maybe short naps, maybe some, you know, meditation stuff that I do during the day, that it's just a kind of a quick reset of energy, 10, 15 minutes, 30 minutes, depends how much I have. Or sometimes it's just 5 minutes breathing exercises or something that will just recharge me and allow me to have a bit more energy for the rest of the day. Basically, yeah, that's the whole routine.
Radio Roland Garros.
Game, set, and match.
Radio Roland Garros will be with you every morning from 11 a.m. local time, broadcasting live from Paris, bringing you ball-by-ball commentary, exclusive interviews, and all the very latest news.
Match point, Alcaraz. 2 hours and 8 minutes. He serves out wide. Backhand return is chipped. Alcaraz waits for it. Goes to the forehand of Musetti, who throws up a high ball. Alcaraz will let that bounce. It's long. Alcaraz turns around to look at Juan Carlos Ferrero. Hits the loose ball into the top tier, which is the cheap seats, which is good because they will really appreciate having one of Carlos Alcaraz's tennis balls. And there's a really warm embrace at the net. These two, pretty much the same age. Musetti a year or so older. They know each other from the junior circuit.
Carlos Alcaraz.
But for the moment, at least, Alcaraz is a class better. And he moves through to the last eight, where he awaits either Stefanos Tsitsipas or Sebastian Hoffman.
Carlos, congratulations. Fantastic match today. Lorenzo played a good tournament. But today, you raised your level to win this one.
Yeah, I think I played at such a great level, you know, really high quality of shots, you know, I done my game really well to the windy, playing really, really aggressive. You know, I think I played a really complete match, you know, since the first ball until the last one. And I'm really happy to get through this really tough round against Lorenzo.
As a world number one, you have so much pressure on and off the court. But when I see you, when we see you, you keep enjoying to be there. You smile between the points. How do you do to still enjoying this tennis, the sport as a game?
Well, I try not to think about the number one, the pressure. I'm one of the main favorites to win the tournament. I try to, you know, pull out all that thoughts and outside my mind. You know, I try just to play tennis, to enjoy. As you said, I try to smile all the time. And this, as I said before, this is the key of everything for me to. Smile, to enjoy, trying to make impossible shot, trying to make the people enjoy the watching the tennis, watching the match. This all I think about during the match. So, thank you.
Carlos, I'd like to pay tribute to someone very important in your life. He won here in 2003. He's your friend. He's your coach. He's in your box. Mesdames et messieurs, je vous demande une ovation spéciale pour celui qui s'est imposé ici il y a 20 ans, l'entraîneur de Carlos, Juan Carlos Ferrero.
Fabrice Santoro is asking the crowd to applaud Juan Carlos Ferrero, coach of Carlos Alcaraz, who won this title 20 years ago. And Carlos himself is applauding. And Carlos is quite moved by that.
Yeah. Tell us, how important is Juan Carlos in your career?
Well, he's really important to me. You know, as you said, he's my friend. He's my coach. He's, I can say he's my father as well. I learned a lot from him since I am with him. You know, we started when I was 15 years old. A lot of things to learn, to improve. I mean, thanks to him, we start playing juniors, then future challengers. Yeah, we played every single, you know, category of tennis. And every year that I'm with him, I've learned a lot. You know, he was number one. A lot of things to learn from him. And of course, for me, it's really important to improve off the court. You know, and I'm really grateful to have him, not only in the box, not only in tennis. You know, I'm really grateful to have him out of the court. You know, and growing up as a person with him.
Congratulations to both of you. Mesdames et messieurs, qualifiés pour les quarts de finale, Carlos Alcaraz.
Well done, Carlitos. Was this your best match of the tournament so far?
Yeah, I think so. I think this was my best match in the tournament so far. I think I played a great level.
Carlos, you are so incredibly quick on the court. I wonder if in the last years you made any tests like a 60-meter sprint or 40 meters, and what was the result in, also what was the time?
I'm working a lot in the sprint. You know, I do a lot of sprint, like 30, 40 meters, but I don't count the time, honestly. I don't know the time that I would take if I made a race, you know, into the 30, 40 meters. I don't know, honestly, but I consider myself fast.
For a good while, you have had Juan Carlos as your wonderful coach, and you began early with your father. But could you talk a little about Kiko Navarro? Did he play a role in your career and learning the game? And could you just talk about him for me a minute, please?
Well, obviously he was an important person for me when I was young. But I started playing tennis with my father, that's obviously. But I had a first coach named Carlos Santos as well, and I work with Kiko and Carlos as well together when I was young, and both was really important person for me that I learned a lot from them, you know. But it was some day that I had to move on. I had to, you know, improve a lot. And it was Juan Carlos, the person. But of course, I learned a lot from that guys.
I wanted to ask you about your next round opponent. It could be Tsitsipas. He's, I think, up a couple of sets. You have a great record against him. Do you think, in a sense, that his game plays into you in the way that you play? And if you could talk a little about your next round.
Well, first of all, he has to win. It's not over, you know. In a Grand Slam, everything can happen. So he has to win first. So, but I can talk about the other guy, Ofner, because I've never played against him. But if I played against Stefanos, it could be a great match. You know, we have played great matches. I won every match that we've played, but it doesn't mean that I'm gonna win every match that we are gonna play. So I have to be really focused. He's a really tough opponent, but of course, his game is a good game for my style.
Ready?
Radio Roland Garros.
Night sessions. Let's start.
Radio Roland Garros.
Sessions on Radio Roland Garros.
Wonderful! Match points. Serve out wide. There it is. It took longer than she would have expected. We'll hear from her shortly. There's an almighty roar. There'll be a handshake at the net. And I think she'll be absolutely delighted.
Arina Sabalenka.
The Roland Garros set. This podcast is brought to you by MasterCard.
Sunday evening in the French capital, and while I'm sure for a number of you are beginning to start to think about the start of a new week, here at Roland Garros, we're just coming to the end of day one of week two. It's lovely to have your company. Hello once again, and welcome to Night and Day at Roland Garros. Round of 16 day. It's been a very busy day, and here for you a little bit of what we have for you on tonight's show. Novak Djokovic eases through to his 17th Roland Garros quarterfinal. It's a very happy Mother's Day for Alina Svitolina. And it's Ladies' Night on Philippe Chatrier. And taking centre stage this evening are the players who arrived a short while ago. Now, we begin with the Australian Open champion. She's the current world number two, and she has an opportunity to take over Iga Świątek's number one role, depending how things turn out. It is, of course, Arina Sabalenka. A little motion to the camera. She made her way in to go through security. She was without her team. She'd link up with them a little bit later in the gym. She is up against a former finalist here. Knows her way around a clay court. Is looking for first career win over Arina Sabalenka. It is, of course, Sloane Stephens. Now, the American Sloane Stephens, she arrived, I would say, probably about half an hour after Arina Sabalenka. Here she is, just coming out with a couple of members of her team, getting herself set, staying focused, staying calm. And when she is on her game, she's an absolute sight to watch. So we're looking forward to this encounter a little bit later, and we'll be building up to it throughout the course of the show. Now, there is some action taking place right now in the main draw in the singles competition, and that's happening over on court Susan Longland, and it is Stefanos Tsitsipas, and he's taking on the qualifier from Austria, Sebastian Offner. So Offner had to come through the qualifying competition. He'll make his top 100 debut. Stefanos Tsitsipas is the fifth seed, and he is a former finalist here. Now, Offner actually had his chances in the early stages of this. He had break points on the Tsitsipas serve early stages, and then Tsitsipas had set points in this game, game number 10. But all credit to Sebastian Offner. He's keeping it going. He's hanging on in there. that the pressure that Stefanos Tsitsipas is applying. And that match is taking place live right now. And we're going to keep following it for you throughout the course of the show. But now let's look back at those who have already booked their place in the quarterfinals of this year's Roland Garros. And we start with two-time Roland Garros champion Novak Djokovic. Now, Novak Djokovic is the third seed here at Roland Garros. His numbers are quite ridiculous. Moving his way through against Juan Pablo Verías, the world number 94, to reach a 17th Roland Garros quarterfinal. That's a record. Nadal only has 16. It's a 55th Grand Slam quarterfinal. That's three behind Roger Federer. He is now 17-0 in the fourth round at Roland Garros. And from 60 Grand Slam fourth round matches played, he's lost just five. He's yet to drop a set. And he's been to the quarterfinals or better every year since 2010 here at Roland Garros. I mean, it's absolutely stunning what he is doing. He spoke in French on court afterwards, but in his press conference, he was asked about his next opponent, who will be the Russian, Karen Khachanov.
Well, I'm proud of it, but my attention is already in the next match. I mean, obviously, quarterfinals, Khachanov. I know what my goal is here, so I'm trying to stay mentally the course and, of course, not look too far. But obviously, the performance of today gives me a great deal of confidence about how I felt, about how I played. So I'm looking forward to a next match.
We will get to the Khachanov match a little bit later, but finishing around, I think, 20 minutes ago, world number one Carlos Alcaraz. It was a repeat of the 2022 Hamburg final where Lorenzo Musetti came through to win, but it wouldn't be the case, the Italian, on this occasion. Both in the Roland Garros round of 16 for a second time. What it does for Carlos Alcaraz, who moves to an 11-match Grand Slam winning streak, is it increases his already impressive numbers for 2023. His win-loss record, with this win, that is a 34th win of the season with just three defeats, and 24 of those wins have come on the clay. He already has four titles this year, the world number one, Buenos Aires, Indian Wells, Barcelona and Madrid. He actually went an early break down in the opening set, but once he'd retrieved the break, he really didn't look back. Just over 2 hours on the clock for the 20-year-old Carlos Alcaraz to come through 6-3, 6-2, 6-2 to book his place back in the quarterfinals of Roland Garros. And he had this to say when he spoke on court after the match.
Well, I try not to think about the number one, the pressure. I'm one of the main favorites to win the tournament. I try to, you know, pull out all that thoughts and outside my mind, you know. I try just to play tennis, to enjoy. As you said, I try to smile all the time. And this, as I said before, this is the key of everything for me, to smile, to enjoy, trying to make impossible shot, trying to make the people enjoy the watching the tennis, watching the match. This all I think about during the match. So. Thank you.
So to Novak Djokovic's quarterfinal opponent, 11 seed Karen Khachanov, who was looking and achieved a fifth career Grand Slam quarterfinal. Three of them have come in the last three slams. We have to remember that he's reached the semi-finals of the last two slams. So go back to the US Open in 2022, then the Australian Open at the start of the year. He was up against another Italian in Lorenzo Sonego. You saw there he dropped the first set, and his last Roland Garros quarterfinal was in 2019. I think the turning point for the Russian was the third set. He was 1-4 down in the tiebreak. He saved a set point, and then Sonego double faulted set point down. So he's reached two Grand Slam quarterfinals in his first 22 Grand Slams. He's now looking for a third semi-final in a row. A really good day's work for the Russian. He is the 11th seed, and he was all smiles and very happy when he spoke on court after his win.
After first set and a half, I was thinking, I mean, I don't know what I'm doing here, you know. He was hitting all over the place. I think start pretty well, but still I didn't know what to do. But the only thing I could do is to fight, to try to find the way, and I did it, really. And the third set, it's true, it was crucial. I was serving for the set, and then I got broken, you know, the tiebreak again, 4-0 down, like the previous match. But I won in the previous match, the tiebreak, so why not to try today? So, yeah, I'm super happy.
keep you up to date with the other matches taking place on Susan Lunganen. It's 6-5 in favour of Stefanos Tsitsipas. It's been a tough first set with the qualifier Sebastian Offner. And if it is your first time with us, firstly, where have you been? Secondly, the noise behind me, that is the pre-night session entertainment as they build up to the players coming out in around 15 minutes time. But let's go back to the start of the day and to the first player to book their place in the quarterfinals of this year's championships. And it was former finalist from 2021, Anastasia Pavlyuchenkova. Now, this is a really wonderful story. Former world number 11, but in on a special ranking, a protected ranking, because she's sitting at 333 because she missed 7 months last year with a niggling knee problem. She was up against Elise Mertens, who defeated the third seed Jessica Pegula in the last round. Now, this is a 57th Grand Slam main draw appearance for the 31-year-old, a 15th Roland Garros appearance, and she's reached an 8th career Grand Slam quarterfinal and a 3rd in Paris. And to do that, she had to come, Pavlyuchenkova, from a set and a breakdown. It is her first Grand Slam quarterfinal since 2021. She moves closer to the top 100 again. Absolutely, thoroughly deserved. She was all smiles on court, and equally so when she came into press following this comeback win over Elise Mertens.
Actually, emotions, I didn't have many much left after this match. I think I was still in the match when given interview on court, and after just a bit relaxed and honestly really tired. So, but really proud of myself because a couple of people reminded me that I was set down 6-3-3-1, Lafori down, so I actually felt like lost match already. So, but I kept on fighting every point, believing, and here I am here.
And Pavlyuchenkova will face the Czech Karolina Muchová, many people's dark horse ahead of this tournament, because her ranking doesn't reflect her talent. It's just the fact that she's gone through 7 months of injury. She has such wonderful variety in a game. She was up against the lucky loser, Alina Avanesyan, who's had a wonderful tournament herself, but it would be Muchová in her 5th appearance, moving that ranking up 10 places to 37. Her first time in the second week at Roland Garros, therefore it would equal a first Roland Garros quarterfinal. She's had a couple of quarterfinals at Wimbledon before. She's had one at the Australian Open, but this is her first here in Paris. Thoroughly deserved. She is quietly making her way through this draw. And it's also her fourth quarterfinal of 2023, following quarterfinals in Auckland, Dubai, and Indian Wells. She's dropped one set through four matches. That was in the second round. She will face Pavlyuchenkova in the quarterfinals. What a comeback this is turning out to be, and it's likely she might be seeded for Wimbledon as well. So Karolina Muchová marks on and had a little chat with the press when she came in following her win.
Tough match. The key is, I again tried to play aggressive, going for the shots. I didn't know her too well, but felt like she was really getting better with the match and putting more balls in. And I felt like if I gave her a little space, that she was taking it. She was playing lots of lines and putting me from one corner to another. So in this hot conditions kind of here, it was a tough match. And I'm happy that in the key moments I went for it. I played something great, and then that I managed to win in two sets.
Now today in France it's Mother's Day, so a very happy Mother's Day to Alina Svitolina up against the 9th seed Daria Kasatkina. It was actually their 7th meeting. It was 6-0 in favour of Svitolina, but since then Svitolina gave birth last October to her baby girl. This is her first Grand Slam since becoming a mum, and it would go on to be her first Grand Slam quarterfinal since the US Open 2021. Now, she had two opportunities with the break in the second set to serve out for a place in the last eight. It went down to the tiebreak. It was nip and tuck all the way, but it would go on to be Svitolina, just her second top 10 win at a Grand Slam. Now, we've got to remember that Svitolina, look at the delight on her face, husband Gael Monfils watching on. It's the first tournament her daughter's been to as well. Now, she won Strasbourg before Roland Garros. So it's now 8 wins in a row for Alina Svitolina. She will return to the top 100 after this, and she won it with her second match point. Absolute delight. Delight that she got it done in straight sets, and the fact that she is back in her first Grand Slam since becoming a mum. Very happy Mother's Day to Alina Svitolina, who is all smiles on court following the win.
Well, it was unbelievable. Thank you so much. You know, I cannot be more thankful for all your support. Yeah, really, really, really special. And you make the guys unbelievable. Now I can feel what Gail was experiencing for all these years, and I'm really thankful for all the French people who support me so much. Thank you.
And she will face the winner of tonight's match between Sloane Stephens and Aryna Sabalenka. We showed you at the top of the show the live action that is taking place right now. It's over on Susan Longlin, and it features former finalist here at Roland Garros, Stefanos Tsitsipas. It was nip and tuck all the way. He had set points earlier in the set, but it would be at 5-6 with the qualifier Sebastian Offner serving that Tsitsipas would close it out at the third time of asking. A little roar on the face of Tsitsipas, who means business. Parted ways with coach Mark Philippoussis ahead of this tournament, said there were too many voices, just his father Apostolos in his ear right now, and that's the perfect start for Stefanos Tsitsipas. He's just taken the first set and 7-5. We'll keep you across that, and you can also follow the Roland Garros social media channels. Now, I'm wondering how far hard you have been finding it, selecting one or two shots or points every day that really have stood out for you. We found it very difficult, but this is what we have for you today. Was that? Remember to let us know your shots or points of the day. You can get in touch with us on Instagram and, of course, via Twitter. Right then, to the main action this evening, the ladies' night at Roland Garros. And we showed you the players arriving. What do they do after they arrive? They put their bags down and they head to the gym just to loosen things up. How many times have we seen these stretchy bands? Everyone should use these. None of us do. But Sabalenka just going through the motion with her team around her. I think this looks quite hard, and I would probably drop the ball, but amazing for your coordination. I'd either laugh or drop the ball, but she's doing very, very well, the world number two. And Sloane Stephens just had a different approach to her warm-up in the gym, as a little bit more relaxed, just herself. Now she's on the bike, loosening up the legs, and she's looking up at a monitor, which is a big screen, and then she got the stretchy seat. We should all learn everyone has the stretchy bands. So Sloane Stephens just going out about her business, getting ready for practice that we're going to see very, very shortly. But before we head out to the practice courts, it's your latest installment when the players reveal all in Never Have I Ever.
Yeah, a little bit. Sometimes questions can be tricky.
I did.
When?
It was actually before Marcos Baghdati's next session. Someone stole my bag, actually. But last moment we found it and I could play.
No, never. Never. This is always with me.
Even in flights?
No.
I lose everything. So my tennis bag, my wallet, my phone.
No, never. Yeah. I'm taking care of my rackets.
I have. Only one person said they've never had that feeling out of everyone we've spoken to.
Can I guess who?
Andre Rublev.
No.
Okay. Rafael Nadal.
French. I mean, that's French. A French player.
Guy Monfils.
No.
I don't think it's Benoit Paire.
It was Hugo Humbert that loves going to training every single day. Now, I'm sure another group of people who love going to training every day are the juniors. And the junior competition at Roland Garros started today, the 90th time that the competition has been held here at Roland Garros. So we thought we would kick things off by reminding you of the winners from last year. And making it three consecutive years that a French champion has been confirmed was Gabriel Debreu. Now, still 17, Debreu has been focusing on his professional career because he's still eligible for the junior events. But He's on the professional tour. He has an ATP ranking of 505, and he actually had a wild card into qualifying, and he fell in the first round, but he's starting to make his way in the professional world. Lucy Havlikova won the singles and the doubles, and then she's decided also to go down the professional route. She's just cracked the WTA top 200, and she's also picked up her first ITF title. So well done to those, and congratulations and good luck to everybody who's taking part and coming through this competition over the course of the rest of the week, and we will keep across it here on Night and Day at Roland Garros. But as day becomes night, it is time for Ladies' Night at Roland Garros. And here's a fascinating matchup between former finalist Sloane Stephens. We know what Stephens can do when she is on. An Arena Sabalenka brimming full of confidence since winning the Australian Open title at the start of the year, and with a chance of being world number one. Look at that backdrop. Get distracted by that beautiful view and the clear skies, and the weather continues to get warmer. Now, I promised you we would check in on practice, the final part of the puzzle ahead of the players coming out. And let's start with the world number two, Arena Sabalenka, who really feels like a weight has been lifted off her shoulders since she came through and won the Australian Open. This was court 16, 6:30 into the Roland Garros for a second week, for a first time, remember, just the first time she'd been in the second week. She has a tour leading 32 wins for 2023. She's in fantastic form. And Sloane Stephens, let's go to court two. Now, this was at 6 o'clock, runner-up in 2018. She's won 35 matches at Roland Garros. That's more than any other Grand Slam. She won a title on clay in May. And again, with Sloane Stephens, never quite sure which Sloane Stephens you're going to get. But if you get the right one, then absolutely watch out. And this is going to be a blockbuster of a match this evening. But when it comes to the head-to-head, this is something to pay close attention to. It's not exactly in favor of the American.
It actually doesn't matter if you're favorite or you're not. You still have to go on court and you still have to show your best tennis.
I'm just looking forward to getting out there and playing for another quarterfinal spot.
The sight that tells the fans inside Philip, what a moment for that young man. And that's the sight that tells us then in a couple of minutes time the players will be making their way through the corridor, up the stairs and out onto Philippe Chatrier. It signals the start of the night session, so people have got to get in their seats, they've got to stop wandering around outside, and they've got to get ready for the match. And just a few little bits of the temperature there for you, but we're going to have another look in on Stefanos Tsitsipas. Now, this match, you can hear ball by call commentary right now live on Radio Roland Garros. You can see there that Tsitsipas won all points for 2-1 in the second. He closed, I think it was 50 minutes on the clock, that he closed it out 7-5 at his third set point opportunity. So Sebastian Offner is obviously not going away. I mean, he's got the scalps of Cressy and Fanini and Korda Offner, so he's really been racking them up over the course of this week. But this really is a different challenge altogether coming up against Stefanos Tsitsipas, who closes out a comfortable holder serve for 2-1. So that's the action that's taking place right now on Susan Longlin. In the bowels of Philippe Chatrier, very shortly the players will be there, but let's just mark your card about what to look out for tomorrow. By the end of tomorrow, our quarterfinal lineup will be complete. So it's 11 o'clock start once again on Philippe Chatrier. Ons Jabeur opening things up, followed by the Geneva winner, Nicolas Jarry against Casper Ruud, and then Coco Gauff. That rounds off the day session. And a third night session for Sasha Zverev. He's taking on Grigor Dimitrov. 11 o'clock on Susan Longlin. The matches for you there, we've got Sara Cerebes-Tormo against Beatriz Haddad-Mai. There's lots of names there. Holger Rune against Francisco Cerundolo. The world number one Iga Świątek against Alessia Cerenko. And Thomas Echeverry, what a tournament he's having, against Yoshihito Nishioka. So we've marked your card and we now go to the sort of nightclub-esque tunnel below Philippe Chatrier. And now it's time, and let's bring these players out onto court. Just checking that the crowd are ready. And it'll be Sloane Stephens who is welcome first out onto Philippe Chatrier. They have a corridor to walk along, stairs to climb, and then the welcome onto the centre court here at Roland Garros.
Match comptant du 8e de finale, tournoi Dames Roland Garros 2023. Première chose à entrer sur le court est 30e mondial. Elle a remporté l'US Open en 2017. Voici l'américaine Sloane Stephens.
Here she comes. She's comfortable on these clay courts. She loves these clay courts. Says they're her favorite courts. And she's the first player welcomed out onto Philippe Chatrier.
Et elle sera opposée à celle qui a remporté l'Open d'Australie cette année, la numéro 2 mondiale, Arina Sabalenka.
And a wonderful reception for the Australian Open champion, her first time in the second week of Roland Garros. This has got the potential to be an absolute barnstormer. Their first meeting on clay, their first meeting at a Grand Slam. Sloane Stephens looking to get her first win over Arina Sabalenka. All the ingredients are there. You are fully prepared. You can follow on the Roland Garros social media channels or get ball-by-ball coverage courtesy of Radio Roland Garros. Enjoy the rest of the day wherever you're tuning in from, and we look forward to your company once again tomorrow. Bye for now.
The Roland Garros set. This podcast was brought to you by MasterCard. Players are ready.
Radio Roland Garros will be with you every morning from 11 a.m. local time, broadcasting live from Paris, bringing you ball-by-ball commentary, exclusive interviews, and all the very latest news.
Radio Roland Garros.
Game, set, and match.
Radio Roland Garros will be with you every morning from 11 a.m. local time, broadcasting live from Paris, bringing you ball-by-ball commentary, exclusive interviews, and all the very latest news. And a second serve to look at. So Pavlyuchenkova steps inside the baseline to make her intent very clear. Then she steps back. Then she settles. 3 hours, 9 minutes. She's just edging closer with every bounce. Now she's inside the base. Oh, but the ball tosses aboard. That's the pressure that Mertens is feeling. In she comes Pavlyuchenkova, plays the off backhand to the feet and the short ball from Mertens. The backhand cross-court winner! And the 2021 runner-up at Roland Garros is back in the Roland Garros quarterfinals. She is the first player through to the last eight at the 2023 Championships, and she came from a set down to do it. 3 hours and 9 minutes. Your winner, Anastasia Pavlyuchenkova, 3-6, 7-6, 6-3.
Nastia, quel match, quelle intensité, quel combat pendant plus de 3 heures aujourd'hui contre Elise. Tout d'abord, je voudrais vraiment te remercier pour le magnifique niveau de jeu offert de la part de vous deux. C'était un match exceptionnel. Tu as dû lutter très fort. Tu étais menée d'un set, un break au deuxième, plusieurs balles de double break à défendre. Tu dois être vraiment extrêmement fier d'être arrivé à remporter ce combat aujourd'hui.
Oui, merci beaucoup. Je suis vraiment fière de moi. Je pense que c'était un match incroyable, encore une fois, parce que le deuxième match, c'était un peu comme ça aussi. À chaque fois, je perds pendant le match. Tout le match, je perds. Et puis, à la fin, je trouve quelque chose pour finalement gagner. Déjà, je suis hyper heureuse de vraiment d'être ici sur le court central de nouveau. Après ma blessure, presque un an, je n'ai pas joué. Oui, c'est exceptionnel, c'est incroyable pour moi. Je suis hyper contente et merci beaucoup pour votre énergie aujourd'hui.
Tu l'as évoqué, tu as eu une longue blessure au genou qui t'a éloigné des cours. Finalement, la dernière mémoire que tu as de ce tournoi, c'est en 2021 et ta finale. Ouais. Ici à Roland-Garros, est-ce que ça t'a aidé dans les moments très critiques aujourd'hui de te dire que tu étais capable de le faire, de renverser la situation, puisque la finale de Grand Chelem, tu l'as atteint ici sur ce court?
Oui, c'est sûr. Je pense que j'ai une relation spéciale avec Roland-Garros. Depuis junior aussi, j'aime beaucoup jouer ici, j'aime beaucoup être battue ce court. Et surtout, je sais pas, je pense que mentalement, je suis encore plus forte cette année qu'avant. Donc on verra. Je donne tout sur toi et on verra après.
Vous pouvez l'applaudir, mesdames et messieurs. C'est parfois un long combat lorsqu'on est blessé pour revenir à son plus haut niveau. Et toi, tu reviens très fort, très vite. Déjà un quart de finale en tournoi du Grand Chelem. Tu te dis quoi maintenant? Que tout est possible? Que tu peux aller jusqu'au bout, remporter la coupe?
Je me dis que tout est possible tout le temps. C'est pour ça que je suis encore là. C'est pour ça que je suis revenue après ma blessure. Vraiment, je pousse depuis l'année dernière, depuis novembre. Et juste maintenant, ça paie un peu. Donc, ça a pris presque 10 mois. J'ai travaillé vraiment fort et je travaille beaucoup. Donc, c'est grâce à mon équipe aussi. Je suis contente d'avoir mon équipe avec moi ici. Et vraiment, on est ensemble et on pousse. Et ben, on verra.
Félicitations encore une fois, Nastia. Merci d'applaudir, mesdames et messieurs. Anastasia Pavlyuchenkova, qualifiée pour les quarts de finale de Roland-Garros.
The final question for Mary Bartley. Do you think you can carry on and lift this cup? Got so close to it, remember, in 2021. And she said anything's impossible. She said, I haven't played from last November until now, but I hadn't even practicing, didn't pick up a racket. But she thanks her team for being her first time back on Philippe Chatrier since that final. She says it's very special. She felt the energy from the crowd. It's a special place to be. And she said it happens to her a lot that she loses the first set and has to tough out the matches. But she's very happy with how she was able to turn it around. She's signing the camera. There's her name and a heart underneath. Congratulations to Anastasia Pavlyuchenkova, who waves to the crowd. She's going to sign a couple of big balls and make her way off. And she is through to the last eight.
Congratulations back into the quarterfinals at Roland Garros. Yeah. Just tell us about your emotions after the match and what were the keys today to getting the win?
Actually, emotions, I didn't have much left after this match. I think I was still in the match when giving an interview on court and after. Now, just a bit relaxed and honestly really tired. Really proud of myself because a couple of people reminded me that I was set down 6-3, 3-1, La Forêt down. So I actually felt like lost match already. So, but I kept on fighting every point, believing, and here I am here.
Hi, Nastia. Congratulations on the win. Was this your first time on Chatrier since the final, even to practice?
Yes, first time. I didn't even practice on Chatrier. Lower players don't really get a chance to practice on those courts.
And what did you make of the atmosphere out there? How did you feel the memories of the last time you were there?
Obviously a very nice memory going up the stairs, and that is very special. But also not easy because I was playing three matches on a small court, so actually it just felt a little bit strange at the start. And also today was really tough conditions, was a lot of wind, and on one side we didn't even have the clay left actually because of with the wind that was flying away, so I couldn't really slide on that side anymore, and so it was not easy.
You have told us that you love to compete and you love to win.
Yeah.
So where do you get your competitive spirit from? Do you think that sometimes when you are behind in a match, your competitive spirit is at its highest? And how competitive do you think you would be if you were not allowed to drink coffee?
Well, I think without coffee, I wouldn't wake up today. Or I would be still sleeping on the court. I think my fighting spirit and competitiveness comes from being back in Russia as a little girl. I didn't have much of support and sponsorships, deals, nothing. So I was just growing up playing on some bad courts, and my dad was coaching me. So since then, I felt like every match I was playing or practice or whatever, I just felt like I want to win and I have to win to kind of keep surviving and keep going and continue playing tennis that I love. So I think it comes more from that. Since that, since being a child, I think I've just, grown up with this.
Earlier in the tournament, you said you weren't here to just like fill a draw. You weren't here to just participate, and that you wanted to come back being better than the player that was before the injury. So three seeds knocked out, 2 3-hour matches, back in the quarterfinals. How do you rate your level in Paris this week so far?
I mean, of course, I'm not going to complain. I'm playing, I'm into a quarterfinal, but I feel like today also there was not much, especially at the beginning, I wasn't quite satisfied with my game because I think I had a slow start and some unforced errors. But so far, it's just thanks to my fighting spirit, I think, and patience and persistence. But I want to combine this with also like a good quality game for next one. I would love to, you know, have some good quality match just by like really enjoying my shots and everything. Because today was more more than half a match. There was a lot of frustration almost after each point. And so, yeah, but win is a win, you know. So I'm happy to be here. And then I'll try to, again, I try to be a better player than I was before. I'm happy how physically I'm still holding up and pushing myself. So I'm excited for more.
Nastia, before the injury, you were basically at this week in, week out since you were junior. You never really had any major layoffs. Mm-hmm. Was there ever any burnout that you dealt with during that period? And now that you're back, do you feel fresher? Do you feel like you have a new perspective?
Yeah, well, absolutely. I think it's even normal to have a burnout. And I think a lot of people have it. And it's not only in sports. I think in life in general, because I think people, we always like rushing and we're never satisfied, maybe. Whatever you have, you always probably look around and you want to be better, or this is not enough, you need this and that and that, and you're always going for more. So I think it's constant race in life and in sports especially. And of course, I also had a burnout a couple years ago before the injury. And I think now I just try to evaluate and look at this from a different position, and really appreciating what I have. And that's why like I'm not giving up on every point when I'm on court, because I think this is great what we have, and I appreciate that more and more. And so just fighting for this.
Radio Roland Garros.
Game, set, and match.
Second serve goes down. The Tiots missed it on the return. And it is game, set, and match. And that is a roar for the ages from the Russian. A really good performance. His opponent, we believe, hampered from at least the early part of the fourth set.
Lovely contest between the two. A good run for the Italian, the 28-year-old. But into the quarterfinals.
What an unbelievable fight. It's very warm today. Lorenzo, it makes you run so much. You found the way extremely well. But I had the feeling like you knew the importance of the third set. It was crucial for this match. Congratulations, Karen.
Thank you. Yeah. It's true, you know. After first set and a half, I was thinking, I mean, I don't know what I'm doing here, you know. He was hitting all over the place. I think, start pretty well, but still, I didn't know what to do. But the only thing I could do is to fight, to try to find the way, and I did it, really. And the third set, it's true, it was crucial. I was serving for the set, and then I got broken, you know, the tie break again, 4-0 down, like the previous match. But I won in the previous match, the tie break, so why not to try today? So, yeah, I'm super happy.
And we have full house today here, a lot of people watching on TV. Can you explain them a little bit when you are sitting there? What are you thinking, like changing tactics, just be more relaxed? What's your thoughts on the chair?
To be honest, on the Grand Slams, we have less time than in ATP. Okay. In ATP, we have 1 minute and a half or sometimes 1 minute 45. And here, you always stress. I mean, you sit down, you have 30 seconds and you have to go. So sometimes I just don't think about anything, to be honest.
Anything, not even music or something to distract you?
No, but I'm pumped, you know, I want to keep going. I'm just saying to myself, come on. I mean, depends on the situation, you know, if I'm down in the score, I just try to push myself. If I'm leading, you know, just try to kind of relax, to keep doing the same things. So it's always different, depends on the score during the match.
Thank you. And last question, and I let you go, Karen, you need to rest. The last slams, you've been playing very well. What do you like the most about playing best of five, even if it's probably more demanding mentally and physically?
Yeah, I think I'm more and more prepared physically and mentally, and that's why it makes me feeling strong, you know, to play best of five, because in a normal tournament, if you are one set and a half down, you are almost going to the shower. Here, you still know that the opponent has to win three sets. You know, it's not easy. I mean, you have to play, let's say, not good, and he has to play unbelievable. So, you know, that's why I think it makes me feel more confident and more stronger, yeah.
Today, we let you go to the shower, but after the win, so congratulations.
Thank you very much. Merci.
Advance pour le quart de finale, hein? Roland Garros.
Well done, Karen, today. Second quarterfinal here in Paris. Do you think the difference today was mental or physical? And what was your feeling about the match?
I would say, thank you very much. Yeah, I would say, you know, those matches in the Grand Slams, especially on clay, it's everything, you know, mental, physical. So today was a little bit of everything. So, yeah.
It seemed like Lorenzo had a really good start to the match. I'm just curious how you dealt with the frustration of that to kind of put together a good win.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, he was 6-1, 2-1, and I think that was a long game on my serve. You know, what to do? I was thinking, how can I start playing better or, you know, to change something, because he was really... Yeah, I was a little bit surprised, you know, because he was so energized. He was putting all the balls in and, you know, aggressive and drop shots, serves, returns. So, and yeah, I just had to stay into the match. I had to stay focused and to try to change something and basically to maintain the level and see if he can continue playing like this during, you know, three consecutive sets or not. So that was the goal in this moment here. Yeah.
I know you enjoy playing chess. So could you tell us how the strategies of winning a tennis match and the strategies of winning a chess match compare? And what will be your next moves to try and secure checkmate here at Roland Garros?
I mean, there are a lot of matches in Roland Garros. So a lot of checkmates you have to do. But to be honest, yeah, there are some parallels
It's true. You know, I like to play with my other coach, you know, Jose Clavet from Spain. I used to play a lot of with him, even a few matches in during the day, you know, in the morning to start the brain working and going. So, and I think there are some similarities. Yeah, I think when you open your head and you are really full into the game, you see the field much bigger. You see the possible shots which you can make troubles to the opponent, you know. And I think, yeah, there are some similarities, so maybe it helps me.
You play against Novak, you played that would be your 10th match, he won a bit more then. So what are your plans for the match against him, and maybe some chess moves for that match too?
But I'm not going to tell you my chess moves, no? Because you're going to tell him straight away. Yeah, against him you need to play really good chess, I mean, I guess, to beat him. But definitely I will prepare tomorrow. You know, it's one day between, like always, to analyze with your team what you can do better, let's say. We will watch some